Today is Wednesday, September 11th, 2013. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. Leaders of a dozen or so Sitka nonprofit organizations walked out of Centennial Hall with slightly heavier pockets last night. The Sitka Assembly dispersed about $82,000 in grant money to groups that provide services ranging from mental health to arts education. The money is given annually as grants to organizations throughout the community. The city had $100,000 to spend on nonprofit organizations. It opted to keep about $10,000 for emergencies, but most of it went to 12 different groups.
Board President for the Greater Sitka Arts Council.
I'm Kari Lundgren.
I'm Tiffany Pearson.
And we're from the Sitka Summer Music Festival. And
we started the Sitka Seafood Festival in 2010. We incorporated in late
Executive Director of the Island Institute and
Sitka Whale Fest is a science symposium for the non-scientists.
Nonprofits can apply for the grants, which come from a special line item in the city budget. They're grouped into three categories: human services, cultural and educational services, and community development. By and large, the process went smoothly, but very slowly. The only hiccup appeared to be a conversation about whether to give money to the Girl Scouts, who run a local unit in Sitka. The organization requested $19,400 under the human services category. Here's Assemblymember Matt Hunter.
It doesn't, to me, meet the human services bar that I'm looking at. The others, particularly Braveheart, Southeast Independent Living, and Youth Advocates, all provide extremely necessary services for the needy members of our community.
Other assembly members agreed with what Matt Hunter said, many of them going to great pains to say that they had nothing against the Girl Scouts in particular. When it was the public's turn, Hannah McPike, a senior Girl Scout, sat down at the witness table wearing her patch-covered sash.
Girl Scouts really helped me. It helps a lot of girls who can't do sports, who don't feel comfortable doing sports. It's helped me feel comfortable to come and talk to you this evening. There really is more to Girl Scouts than selling cookies.
And while other organizations focus on dealing with issues after they've arisen, Hannah's mother, Patty McPike, said Girl Scouts does the opposite.
Girl Scouts is an organization which tries to offer an alternative and prevention prior to people needing intervention. And, you know, the an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
A lot of the assembly members agreed, but not to the tune of $19,000. They ended up giving the Girl Scouts about $2,300. In the human services category, the big winner was Braveheart Volunteers. The end-of-life and elder care nonprofit received all of the $20,000 it requested. Other grants went out to the Sitka Summer Music Festival, Sitka Whale Fest, the Island Institute, and Sitka Trailworks, whose board president heeded the mayor's call for quick testimony as the clock moved ever closer to a mandatory adjournment deadline.
Brian Hansen, Sitka Trailworks, thank you, grateful. We leverage. Great to be a partner. Thank you.
Good job. Thank you.
The grand total of grants turns out to be less than what's in the budget. Talk around the assembly table suggested moving some of that extra money into an infrastructure fund, but the assembly ran out of time, and they're expected to take up that issue at their next meeting on September 24th. And if you want to see which nonprofit organizations received grants and how much they received, you can visit our website, kcaw.org. The list is posted at the bottom of this report. The Sitka Assembly took the first step toward raising electric rates last night. Sitka plans a 10% across-the-board increase. The goal is to help pay for big projects, especially the expansion of the Blue Lake Dam. Only one person testified on the rates last night.
My name is John Stein. I use electricity. City seems to think that the people that use electricity should pay for it, and I agree, and I certainly support the rate increase, and I support the Blue Lake Project, and thank you for doing it.
Even so, others in the community have raised concerns about the increased cost of electricity. Utility Director Chris Bruton says he's well aware that increasing the rates must be tempered with keeping power affordable.
I don't want to sound really hokey here, but I tell our folks in our department, everyone believes this, we don't serve account numbers in this town. We serve friends, families, and neighbors. We all know who we are. So our objective is to keep our costs as low as possible.
The rate hike comes as Sitka prepares to borrow nearly $30 million from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank to help pay for the Blue Lake Dam. But the ordinance passed last night actually lists a higher amount. Interim Municipal Administrator Jay Sweeney says the city's consultant did that to keep options open in case money does not come from the state legislature this year.
So he's written it for $50 million to cover all contingencies. Our planning is, again, roughly $28 million this time, and we only have an approval at $44.5 million for the bond bank in total.
That means if the city does end up needing more money, it will have to go back to the bond bank, which loans large sums of money to Alaska cities and towns. It would take a vote of the bank's board of directors to send more money to Sitka. The Blue Lake Hydro Project is the largest public works undertaking in city history. Crews are raising the height of the dam more than 80 feet. Doing so will mean Blue Lake can generate more electricity for Sitka. It's estimated to cost a total of about $140 million. Raising electric rates is part of an agreement which requires a certain amount of money be coming into the city in order for the bonds to be granted. Southeast Alaska residents, including representatives of many communities in the KCAW listening area, participated in today's Alaska Marine Highway System public hearing on the proposed schedule for next summer. The teleconference hearing took place in Ketchikan. Representing the Marine Highway were General Manager Captain John Falvey, Operations Manager Captain Anthony Carvalis, and Vessel Scheduling Coordinator Carrie Trout. Those who spoke focused on their community's needs and special events they hope would be considered in the schedule. A popular request was for the system to restore service that has been reduced over the years between Seattle, Prince Rupert, and Southeast. Here are some of the comments, starting out with Jamie Cabral, the Activities Director at Petersburg High School.
I know with our new classifications coming up with this year with new schools that are going to be moving around, the state's going to be reclassifying all the schools throughout the state, and that might change some of the conference mix-ups. And right now, with us being the only one with Sitka and Edgecombe in a conference, going north is causing us to miss about six straight days of school. So we are unfortunately looking at flying a lot more and not using the Marine Highway System just because of days out of school. And I know talking with some other school districts, we are choosing not to attend some region events just because of the length of time away and of course, the budget cuts and not being able to fly.
This is Henry Chitty, the mayor of Cake. And the only comment I have is that, you know, from September to the end of October, we got 10 days in between coming home, going up to Juneau, and then coming home once every 10 days. And this is a time of the year our people finish up their summer and trying to get up to Juneau to do some school shopping, but they end up spending all their money in the hotels and waiting for the next ferry to get home.
Yes, this is Marlene Campbell from City and Borough Sitka. You would be surprised if we didn't have comments, and we do. The first is to thank both DOT and Marine Transportation Board for meeting in Sitka on August 30th. That was really neat. However, this is the rest of the story, and I know everybody's going to tune me out at this point. So before you do, just think if your community had only one southbound per week in the months of May and June, and only one southbound and only one northbound the last 2 weeks of September. I strongly concur with the comments from the gentleman in Cake about one northbound and one southbound per week, period. And that causes Sitka, a town of 8,500, the same problems that it causes Cake. Basically, the system becomes unusable. And that last 2 weeks of September are just shocking.
This is Alberta, and I work with the senior citizens at the senior center with the lunch program, and I've noticed that at the beginning of the year or at the beginning of the month, a lot of our senior citizens are going in to do their shopping, and I want to say that this is really helpful for our community because they're able to do that. They're able to take off and do their shopping for whatever they need here. So I'm just making a statement that we do appreciate what we're getting here. As you all know, there are cutbacks everywhere, and search is cutting back a lot. the weather is going to start getting bad, and we're sometimes not able to get a plane here or even a helicopter because of the fog.
Excerpts there from Southeast Alaska residents and officials on the proposed summer 2014 ferry schedule. For more information, you can see the Alaska Marine Highway System's website. It is ferryalaska.com, ferryalaska.com. As many of you know by now, President Barack Obama asked Congress to postpone a vote on a U.S.-led military strike against Syria in order to pursue a diplomatic solution. Yesterday, the president took his case to the American people, but said he would let proposals for a peaceful solution play out. Obama has been making the case for U.S. involvement since the Assad regime reportedly used chemical weapons in the Syrian war, killing more than 1,400 people. But war-weary Americans have not lined up behind President Obama, and as Rosemary Alexander reports, Alaskans are among them. The state's residents overwhelmingly oppose U.S. intervention in Syria.
The state's two U.S. senators and lone House members say the issue has sparked more constituent mail than any recent development in Washington.
We had over 1,000 calls and emails opposing any intervention, and I think we had less than 5 of the total amount that was supporting.
Congressman Don Young has steadily opposed any U.S. military involvement in Syria. He just returned to Washington from Alaska, where constituents told him to stay out of the Syrian civil war.
The most amazing thing to me, in my traveling across the state, I never found one person that was in support of the intervention in Syria. And we are very much a military state.
Young says Alaskans' opposition is blind to political party.
You know, you have the very liberals, and you have the moderate conservatives, the real conservatives, a lot of different reasons.
6,000 Alaskans participated in a telephone town hall on Syria last week with Senator Mark Begich. Press Secretary Heather Handyside says the number of comments coming in was the impetus behind it. Outside that teleconference, Handyside says there's been thousands of calls, letters, emails, and Facebook comments.
I'd say since this issue kind of came to the forefront, we've had probably about 3,000 contacts. Probably only 5% or less are in favor of engagement.
Senator Lisa Murkowski's office has also been inundated with Alaskans' concerns about Syria. Press Secretary Matthew Felling says most are strongly negative.
Some people are frustrated that a couple times a year we get a different crisis in the Middle East and we don't seem to have a plan. And there are other people who say, just stay out of it. We are not the world's police. And there are some people who say, we don't want boots on the ground. I mean, the massive response overall has been no, but for myriad reasons.
Felling says Facebook traffic hit a fever pitch before the president's speech. It was coming worldwide, but the senator's office only counts Alaskans' comments. In Juneau, I'm Rosemary Alexander.